Hi, everybody, and good evening. Here from Finland. I hope I'm audible. I think so. I sometimes begin with a pantomime, you know. Welcome to our pre-full moon webinar, and we have the full moon coming up quite soon at I think it's 4:44 and 16 seconds, something like that, GMT. So that will be, oh, in another 8 hours, roughly, a little more, maybe almost 9 hours. And that will be a broadcast, and it will be at the usual link. Now, it actually starts, that's the full moon, but it actually starts at 3 a.m. GMT. So that's 6 here in Finland, and basically another 7 hours. So maybe if you don't have other full moon engagements, you can join us for the exact moment of the full moon, which will be a broadcast. And you should definitely have the link by now. There's only one link for the broadcasts, you know. So Tuija will be presenting that, and I think in the chat box you'll see some things that you will need. And the Secret Doctrine webinar is coming up tomorrow for Francis Donald and the evocative images. And text from Francis is there. All of this is in the chat box. And you know, just thinking about it, probably most of you have our YouTube live link, but if someone would be so kind as to put that in the chat box, that would help
It
us.
is in the it's in the chat box.
It's in the chat box. Okay, all right, so good. So we have everything that we need. And well, I think we just get going. The Jofre images, where we see the grasping hands and the claws of the crab. The big problem with cancer is attachment, and it is at first, when the moon rules, it is the past, and we are attached to all of those factors from the past which may keep us from growing. We want our treasures, you know, and our treasures are usually worth so much less than the really valuable treasures of the treasure house, the causal body, and the divine layers of the cosmic physical plane. Maybe if we're attached to those, we will have a much different attitude, and that would be not so much the moon as it would be Neptune. Really, in a certain sense, all three layers of the Cancerian energy are ruled by Neptune, but the lower part is very delusive, possibly very glamorous, possibly very limiting. And the higher part has to do with the great art of wholeness and identifying as whatever you see. You embrace the wholeness. So, you know, the problem with humanity is that well, there are many problems, okay, but we're reaching backward to times past, represented by the moon and represented by the subconscious mind or the subconsciousness. It's kind of a kamamanasic thing. Experiences which we have undergone, and in which we are still trapped. There's a repetitive cycle connected with the moon. It's a thought form effect. It's activated now and then. It's still potent. The moon does not have a real radiation of its own. It has an effect of disintegration. And it's getting smaller and smaller, really, by the time we finish with the schedule of rounds in the Earth chain. The moon will have disintegrated and will have disappeared, and we will have moved beyond our past fixations and attachments. But meanwhile, it's very important, you know, to keep the whole vehicle in a state of purity, of a kind of spiritual chastity. Here we see Diana, the huntress, or maybe Artemis. There are different names for this bow and arrow goddess. And basically, if we don't keep our vehicles in a inwardly cleansed condition, we can be driven mad. And that is what the moon is associated with. Chaotic, nonsensical associations, which do not at all conform to the divine plan. It has to do with a mistake, as many of you know, that the planetary logos made when the moon chain was the major focus, his major focus within the planetary scheme. And everything came to a great halt on that sphere of life, which was incomplete in its work. And the incomplete process had to be transferred to our Earth chain. And we're doing double duty here. We have the moon chain lives, and we have the Earth chain lives, who are more recent. We also have the ancient previous solar system lives here as well. So there's a tremendous kind of stress going on within our planetary scheme, especially in our planetary chain, the Earth chain, and especially on our planetary globe. Our globe lord has a lot to handle, and the friction of all of that is distressing to the units of the human family who are involved in it. We're always, with Cancer, we tend really to reach backwards. And all of those things that are unfinished from the past, it's quite a karmic sign, have been dragged into the present, and they are up for regeneration. Now, can we take the past and so regenerate it that it can properly align with the kind of second ray program, which is intended to come through our Earth chain, the fourth chain? You know, whether it's a chain that has to do with the heart, or whether with the base of the spine, you know, there are ways of looking at it both ways. But suffice it to say, we are kind of the solar systemic hospital, and we have inherited a lot from the past. And when we're fixated on the past and have our claws firmly around, or, you know, dug into all these past experiences, we just don't move forward. So generally, the moon part has to do with the physical body. When you look at the five non-sacred planets, the moon is the physical body. Mars, the Earth is the etheric body. That's a non-sacred planet. Mars is the astral body, and Pluto is the concrete mind, or you can actually switch Mars and Pluto around. And finally, the Sun stands for the potentially integrated personality. But we live on a non-sacred planet that is a very important planet in the development of our solar logos. Now, our present solar system is the blue system. The past solar system is called the green solar system, and it resonates to the note F, the note Fa, and we have to get beyond that. That note is very much associated with the sign Cancer. So somehow we have to live in the higher temples of our life and not in the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is the dense physical body. We have to live more and more within the Temple of Solomon, and even finally, as Chohans, within the Temple of Ezekiel. That's found on the monadic plane. So let's just say, from another perspective, the moon represents the tendency to live within the vehicles of the personality and to have our lower point of tension there. The esoteric Neptune takes us into the Temple of Solomon, which is a much more, you know, figuratively speaking, a much more subtle dwelling place. Maybe sometimes, you know, listen to the Brahms Requiem, and there is a piece there called How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. It comes from the Bible, and there the Neptune gives that loveliness. So more and more the encapsulation, the imprisonment, the moon being the prison of the soul, is wearing thin. And eventually we will rise into the Temple of Ezekiel, which we may associate with Cancer also. All temples are, in a way, Cancerian. Now, we will have the link whereby you can see Francis's illustrations and the text that he has provided about these things, with some quotation from DK. We really don't want to be underwater in our lives. Water is matter. It's a symbolic way of talking about matter. And most of us are living in the area where we cannot breathe spiritually. Now, the entire lower 18 subplanes are a realm where we cannot really breathe spiritually. They constitute the dense physical body of our planetary logos. We have to move up into the causal body, the egoic lotus, the Temple of Solomon. Now, can we do that? Can we really learn to meditate not just as an aspiring personality? I mean, that's okay. But can we actually meditate as the soul in incarnation who has been extracted into the supervisory soul, the angel of the presence? Can we meditate within the angel of the presence? So this is a chance for us to do that. And instead of all of those attachments, which can be symbolized in a sixth-ray manner as God, Mother, and apple pie, you know, the old kind of semi-humorous statement, we want to live in a more subtle realm where we can begin to really feel the group relation and can begin to tend towards identification under Neptune, because it says of Cancer, the whole is seen as one. The whole is seen as one. And you can see how close that is to the secondary statement, naught is but me. Yes, it's true that the third ray and the seventh ray work through Cancer, but there's something about the Neptunian second ray monad working through Cancer which gives us eventually identification as the wholeness. So anyway, just keep in mind, Orthodox ruler of the moon, esoteric ruler Neptune, and hierarchical ruler also Neptune on a higher turn of the spiral. Francis beautifully depicts the temple for us. There are going to be these 12 pillars, and they represent the true home of our consciousness. You know, it's a symbol in a way of the Temple of Solomon. It looks a lot more like Stonehenge, but why not? And we see here the two gates, the gate into life of those who must know death, and that's the Cancerian gate at first, not for forever, and then Saturn, the gate into life, a higher life of those who know no death. And before you, what you see is the triple representation of man. You see the large outer personality, the inner soul, and finally the tiny figure, very, very remote. From one perspective, it's the monad. Now, maybe you can interpret it exactly, in exactly the opposite way as well, you know. But it does look like this tiny remote figure is the monad. And we break down every temple we ever have. We break down the personality, we break down the egoic lotus. We even, there's another kind of temple on the third level of the atmic plane. We have to break that too. It's just loosely hinted at. And then the Temple of Ezekiel on the monadic plane, even that shatters. And we have the liberation of the flying essence, the volatile essence, into the sea of fire. Cancer doesn't really go there. That's more the realm of Leo. So all of these temples that we're building for ourselves, from the most crude temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness, to the great temple of Ezekiel, which we have not entered yet, just as we have not steadily meditated within the temple of Solomon, these states do lie ahead. So Cancer is at once very material, but at the same time extremely inclusive and expansive, depending upon the level of evolution to which it applies. Now, you know, people tend to get all patriotic, and you know, they love their mother country and so forth. Nothing wrong with patriotism in its sixth ray mode. It is a step, and it can be very, very concrete. And as DK says, even heaven, you know, Cancer rules all of these heaven worlds in a way. And then we tend to make a very material, concrete heaven when we're thinking about where we will go and how we will be housed in our Father's home, imagining that some of these first heavens are actually the final heaven. But of course they're not. There are vehicles, heavenly vehicles, on every level, until we finally break down the final temple. Now, we, you know, that's more the work of the Chohan of the sixth degree on his way into the sea of fire. Now, the Christ has done this, the Buddha has done this. I can't tell you whether they can still use something we call a monadic vehicle. whether it stays or not, the Buddha deliberately preserved his triadal vestures for the use of the Christ. So these things can be preserved, but let's just say cancer generally is not about freedom. It's about confinement. Until the ring pass knot just gets so attenuated that there's a blending of that former identity into the wholeness, which begins to be felt under Neptune's higher influence in the sign Cancer. So let's reverse the trend, and instead of gross objectivity, which can really happen, you know, given the most objective expression of Cancer, let us move towards the heavenly worlds and learn how to work meditatively within these respective ascending temples. And, you know, when we can finally, it's not the final step, but when we can actually move into the causal body and meditate there in the presence of our best accumulated virtues and in the presence of the angel of the presence and in the presence of increasing buddhi, which identification gives, you know, then we really will have accomplished something meditatively. Okay. So I say, you know, you can go there to the link and study all that Francis has to say about his beautiful illustrations. And he has very good quotes from DK too. So, you know, it's a good thing to do at each full moon to remind yourself of what he has brought forward. Now it is time to meditate. And happy to see you all gathered together, you know, inside the temple of our meditation together. So let me find our meditative work, and it's here. Well, we really are in the day already of safeguarding. We are less than 12 hours away from the full moon, and we've been going through, you know, either the fivefold or the sevenfold method, sometimes even the threefold method with the full moon in the middle, just as long as we have that sense of before and after. So this is the day when we should feel that intensification of the presence of these energies. So let's get into it. And we know, or at least remind ourselves, that we are the soul, we are the consciousness within incarnation, within the personality at this time. Most of what we perceive is found in the personality life, but increasingly the soul life is making its way into the personality through the process of infusion. So while eventually we identify ourselves with all things or as all things, at this point we don't want to identify as if we were the personality vehicles. We want to withdraw from being preoccupied with them. We we withdraw from giving a lot of attention to the physical etheric. We, the soul in incarnation. And then we realize we are also in our sentient vehicle, and we withdraw from the astral vehicle, the sentient vehicle. It's simply an instrument, and at this stage of our work, we act as if it is not us. At one stage, it is not us. Later, everything is who we are. And then, from the many thoughts of mind, the many words, we withdraw. The old Raja Yoga affirmation, I have this personality vehicle, but I am not this personality vehicle. I have this lower mind, but I am not the lower mind. And we as if extract ourselves into the imagined causal body. And the soul in incarnation merges with the soul on the higher mental plane, the consciousness within the higher mental plane. And we are in the, we might call it the field of virtue, the field of cultivated strengths and abilities and victories over matter. We're in the field of everything we've accumulated that is good and which has been built into that radiatory instrument we call the egoic lotus, causal body. And being there, you know, we can become aware all over the world of men and women of goodwill in their soul infusing nature and as souls on the higher mental plane, and aware also of the new group of world servers who are servers of greater intensity than the average man or woman of goodwill. We use the heart, you know, to kind of reach out to detect their presence. And wherever they are, we won't know them personally, but we are at one with them, and we share a certain consciousness with them. It's a group consciousness on the plane of soul, considering at first that plane of soul as the higher mental plane. And finally, though it is a big stretch, We really are at one in soul with all human beings, whether they are in the body or out of the body, as St. Paul was saying, we are one with them, as them. And so that sense of identification, wholeness, inclusiveness really begins to come over us. And we move closer and closer to being able to say and being able to mean the second ray mantram, which involves the heart center, of course, naught is but me. The gradations of being able to perceive that are many. Naught is but me. And the Cancerian energy should really help us make that mantram real, because in Cancer, the whole is seen as one. So beyond form, through form, pervading form, naught is but me. And if you're fortunate enough to hook into it so that it really impresses you as real, stay with it, you know, and deepen it. Because it will mean that you are slipping into initiate consciousness, which we know always precedes initiation. The initiate is initiate before being initiated. We're slipping into this state that the masters always know, because their consciousness is focused in buddhi, minimally, except maybe for a few of the, you know, the scientific ashrams, which are run by arhats, still on the higher mental plane, but usually at least buddhi. And it's kind of a Buddhic realization, naught is but me. And our way of going deeper into the buddhi, and even into the atma, and even finally reaching the abstract mind, which sometimes we find we cannot use, we visualize the many-colored antikarana with our own soul ray color and personality ray color prominent. As if reaching from the emotional plane to the Buddhic plane, and passing through a series of retained energies around the mental unit. The energy of the light of the soul, extracted and retained. The energy of the love of the soul, extracted and retained. The energy of the sacrificial will of the soul, extracted and retained. The energy of a growing synthesis emanating from the unfolding synthesis petals, extracted and retained. And the energy of the will from the monad working through the jewel in the lotus, extracted and retained. So we are projecting ourselves into more subtle realms, at least acting as if, more subtle realms than even the normal soul realm on the higher mental plane. And we will sound the Om outwardly 3 times as we use the mantram, I see the greatest light, and we visualize especially the indigo color coloring the bridge, second ray color, and that line of light shooting imaginatively upward. You know, realistically, we're not going to necessarily reach the monastic permanent atom. Maybe yes, maybe no. But we're definitely not going to reach the Buddhic and the Atmic permanent atoms, because even the masters can't do that. So, yet we'll penetrate into the realm of Buddhi and of spiritual will. And we will be met by a descending force coming from and through those permanent atoms. So I see the greatest light, and the Om, both simultaneously. Om. Om. And if we are successful, a little bit, some higher spiritual will, wisdom, or love, or intelligence will descend and meet us on the bridge that we've constructed. And so, even though we don't reach the heights of those triadal vehicles, we are at least imaginatively responsive to them. We're receiving from them. It's the place where the majority of the masters are focused all the time. At least they can be focused there even while handling affairs on the dense physical plane. So the greatest light of Shambhala, the unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala, is as if pouring down through the triadal vehicles and reaching us as an advancing point of light. We are that advancing point of light, and we are being reached. And with each true connection, more light breaks forth. We offer our solidarity, our salutations to the Christ and the Masters with whom we work. It's a declaration of cooperation, really. Since we have at least imaginatively penetrated into the point of tension where they are habitually working. Om. Salutations to the Christ, the Master of all Masters. Om. Salutations to the Masters M, KH, and DK, with whom so many of us most closely work, or at least are influenced by. Om. Salutations to the Master Maurya, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Om. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, the Christ of the Age of Capricorn, one equinoctial cycle ahead, and the head of the great second Ray Ashram, which is preparing, doing the most to prepare for the reappearance of the Christ. Salutations to the Master Jwal Kul, with whom we are closely associated in terms of training. He gave us the Blue Books. He gave us so much of the material that Blavatsky used to write her Secret Doctrine. And he has so many students under supervision before they may go to their home ashram. Salutations to your own master as you know him to be or conceive him to be. Salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of the planet. Now, in the process of preparing for externalization and a closer walk with humanity on the outer plane. And we take our thoughts now as a group, very reverently, imaginatively, towards the center where the will of God is known, which is Shambhala. And we sound a long, silent inner om as we seek to be, as a group, impressed by the energy of the will to good, the great unfettered light of Shambhala, as much as we can absorb. We sound that inner om and imaginatively allow ourselves to be as if impressed. So that more and more in our lives we may be guided by divine purpose, as much as we can understand it, and divine will, as much as we can respond to it, and the greatest light, as much as we can see it, or see in that light. We, all of us, gather together as if contained within a point of light, love, and power. Our extension in time and space ceases. We become the point. We hover above the golden pathway into the indigo sun. There is no space in this point. We are all together and there is no space. And the golden pathway shortens and shortens. And we travel with it until we are absorbed in the indigo sun. And there especially we as if meet the consciousness of Master DK. As he did say to his students for the 12 hours before the full moon, he will look for the group approach. And we just happened to be meditating at that time. And we seek as a group to be an outpost of the consciousness of Master DK as we consider the ray energies, the zodiacal energies, the planetary energies now available when the sign Cancer is becoming stronger and stronger. We're going to meet especially imaginatively the power of the moon. And we'll put that under our foot, as it were. And we will meet the power of Neptune in all of its subtlety as we go along. And now we will take up each one of these. The moon, which is really the veil for a lower form of Neptune. And we will encounter Neptune at one level and Neptune at a still higher level. So first of all, we ponder on the power of the moon, which really is a kind of obstruction in space, the prison of the soul. We can't let our self-conscious or subconscious life imprison our more expansive consciousness. We can't let that happen. And so we put the moon underfoot. And we free ourselves from the Maya, from the repetitive habit patterns, from the rotary motion of the third ray, which does not spiral upwards. We resolve in our life to be free of that strictly rotary motion of the past. If we can ever free ourselves from the past, we will have accomplished a great deal on the spiritual path. The moon often veils also Uranus and Vulcan, but not in this case. It's just the lower form of Neptune. And also the dense physical matter inherited from the past. So maybe at this time we can make steps in our group life, in our individual life, in the life of humanity, to be free of the trap which literally keeps us going around in circles. Let's feel that spirit of freedom entering our individual and group life as we sound the Om. So, having moved then beyond the mother of the form, we think about Neptune, that beautiful blue planet, the deepest blue of any planet, much more so than Uranus, reflecting its second ray monad. It's almost indigo in color, at least as it appears from our perspective here. So this Neptune esoterically and for advancing man has the power to refine, to sensitize, to calm, to tranquilize the astral body, to overcome the turbulence of Mars and render it receptive to the love and compassion of the Buddhic plane. And don't we need this in our groups? And don't we need that astral tranquility so that it can reflect the higher Buddhic energy and even the love energy of the soul? So let's imagine this beautiful blue energy flowing into us individually and as a group, in our various groups, bringing much increased sensitivity to higher impulses. We'll imagine that flowing in as we sound the Om. But there is also a higher Neptune, hierarchically considered, and it reveals the presence of God, the presence of being, all-pervading, pervading matter and form, going beyond rings pass not, and finding that which is the same in common, that we all have in common with each other. It's actually the monadic quality, bringing what the Christ had, the amazing power to identify as, to identify not just with, but as the other, any being, even any form. It's not the lower form of identification where you mistakenly think you are your vehicles. No, it's something much higher. And because it dissolves the rings past not, it makes it possible for you to know and to say, the whole is seen as one. The whole is seen as one under this identificatory power of Neptune. When the rings pass not dissolve, all experience is as if taking place within you and is not objective. It's not out there. It's right in here. The whole is seen as one. We live in a great love solar system of the blue logos, and we think for a minute of the sun as the vehicle of the blue logos. We're all, whatever our rays and signs may be, essentially, during our participation in this solar system, we are units of love wisdom. Let's try to understand what that might mean. We are, if we really respond to what our solar logos is, a God of love, if we really respond to what hierarchical Neptune can give, being the custodian of these solar flames, how interesting, we will overcome the great heresy of separateness. So you see, nothing in this solar system escapes being you, escapes being loved identificatorily. Our God is a consuming fire, and all separativeness is consumed in this fire of love, this fire of love wisdom. There is a special form of light, the light within the form. This is the Cancerian light. It is the diffused light of substance itself, the dark light of matter, referred to in the secret doctrine. It is the light awaiting the stimulation coming from the soul light. And that stimulation will redeem the past. This dark light is of the past and will be irradiated by the solar factor. The third and the seventh ray are close to this form of light. They are both rays of objectivity in one way. The third ray is the most objective point in the three rays of aspect. And the seventh ray is the most objective point in the seven rays when you add the rays of attribute. So our redemptive task is right here. We are toiling in Pisces as Aquarianly inclined disciples, but we're also toiling in Cancer and loosening the grip of the past. And we're overcoming fear, which is one of the great Cancerian issues. Fear and attachment going together. Now for a few moments, and we will continue to work in this way. We will take the evolutionary or the esoteric mantra of Cancer and think of all the temples that we either have built or will be building, all the enclosures which may be points of tension under which cultivation or in which cultivation of spiritual qualities can occur, but which ultimately, not yet, but ultimately have to be broken for freedom. So let us ponder together and continue pondering, those of you who, you know, will be awake. I build a lighted house and therein dwell. I build a lighted house and therein dwell. I build a lighted house and therein dwell. So if these are your waking hours, just continue to ponder on this mantra. And as the full moon approaches, and as we begin, you're welcome to join us at 3 a.m. GMT for a full moon occurring at 4:44 and a few seconds a.m. All of this is emanating from the one about whom naught may be said in whom the zodiacal constellations are the heart within the head center of that great unknown being. And in this case, the power of Cancer is moving into our local cosmic logos, in which our solar logos is a heart center. And from our solar logos to the planet Neptune especially, not really to the moon at all, and from the beautiful blue planet Neptune with its second ray monad and sixth ray soul to our Earth, to Shambhala and all its monads, and to the hierarchy and all its souls, and into the personality of humanity and into the personality of every individual, pretty much involving, in this case, the solar plexus and the heart center and the heart within the head. Now, this sign of compassion, the Dalai Lama is a Cancerian, and this kind of eclipse that's occurring is, I think it's his Cancerian degree at the moment of the full moon. There are places on Earth that need the compassion and the inclusion, the caring that Cancer can provide from the higher perspective. Select such a place and send the higher energies of Cancer Neptune there. The greatest of the leaders have this caringness, this compassion. And let us see the leadership of Earth through its various nations. The leadership of humanity turned towards compassion and inclusiveness. And the idea of the family of man. And where there is temporary division, let there be union and oneness. And we will now close our meditation with the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Friends, let us learn to dwell in the temple of virtue, the lighted temple of virtue. So, lots of love, many blessings from the whole team, bringing you these communications. Meditations, broadcasts, webinars, and I know we'll see some of you at 3 a.m. GMT. As DK said, well, you know, the moment of the full moon is like no other. It's as if a door opens and certain contacts are possible that are possible at no other time. So he says, make the sacrifice to be meditating at the time when the door opens. So thank you for being here with us, and we'll be converting this meditation. I'm not sure that you'll be able to use it. It takes a little while to convert it. But so good to see you and work with you and try to make our little impression for the good from the inside of life. That's what we students of esotericism are trying to do, you know. So we'll see you before long, and then we will, you know, on I think today's Saturday, on Monday and Tuesday, we will continue with our sacred pentagram meditations, which Tuya will lead, and then we'll be back into the ASK program next Wednesday. We have begun that, you know. So, good night, good day, good morning, whatever. And whether you're with us or just in your own private space, all by yourself, as it were, do take advantage of the exact moment of the full moon. And make sure you're sufficiently awake to do so. No good waking up 1 minute beforehand and somehow, oh, full moon moment, and then fading out. So give yourself a little bit of time. We'll see you then shortly. Bye-bye.